Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. Now, it's my intention to finish this chapter today. However, there's nine points in the message today, and I don't want to rush. So if for some reason we just get really concentrating on one point, we may actually carry this over to a second broadcast. But it's my desire to cover all of these. Now, you'll not be able to hear and understand and remember everything about all of these verses if we read them all now and then go back and reread them again as we cover each point. So, to save time, we'll just pick up and go right into the text. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19, all the way down to verse 30. Now, what you're reading about a fellow named Timothy, who is a helper to Paul in the ministry, and you're reading about a fellow named Epaphroditus, another helper to Paul in the ministry. Timothy is going to be sent by Paul down to Philippi in order to check out the church and also to bring a report back to Paul about how things are doing and also to be a comfort and a help to the church. Epaphroditus is one that works with Paul and labors for this church in prayer, and one that was very close to the church, somebody that the church loved very much. And so he writes about them in these verses of Philippians chapter 2. And when we read them, we find nine characteristics of good helpers. And the question I want you to keep in mind while we go through these nine characteristics of good helpers in the ministry, are these characteristics like you? Do they fit you? And if not, can you conform to these characteristics if you desire to be a helper to your pastor in the ministry? All right, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So Paul, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, would send Timothy and be comforted when Timothy would relate back the condition of the church down there and also send down some spiritual help as instructed by Paul. The first characteristic, then, of a good helper in the ministry is faithfulness. We find that Timothy was faithful. That is, Paul could count on sending Timothy to Philippi and count on Timothy being able to discharge all the responsibility that Paul had for him to do when he got down there. That's what he was sending him for. Now, the question I want to ask you is, if you desire to help your pastor in the ministry, which I hope that you do, if you desire to help your pastor in the ministry doing things, are you faithful? Can he count on you? That's the real question. You see, Timothy obviously was somebody that Paul could count on. Timothy was dependable. Timothy was the type of individual who would represent Paul well when he got down there to Philippi, so that whatever things he said would be very representative of the way that Paul felt toward the church and of the things that Paul would have said to the church had he been there himself. Not only that, but Timothy was so faithful that he would be able to go back to Paul and relate precisely the condition of the church. So he's faithful when he represented the people well with communication. You know, there are not a lot of people today that want to help their preacher in the ministry who are that dependable, who would obviously represent the pastor that well, who would not slander the report or talk badly about him in some of the context. I can remember people over the years that I've met who have talked about preachers in the ministry, and they'll say, well, he's a good man, but, and then they go to button him like an old billy goat. He's a better teacher than he is a preacher. I've heard that. He's an excellent preacher, but he's not much of a pastor. I've heard that. Well, that's somebody who takes advantage of the close relationship that they have with the preacher, and they honestly could be a help in the ministry, but with their tongues they do more damage than they do help by their presence. But that's the reason is they're not faithful. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we find out about stewards and helpers in the ministry. And we find this. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What does he say? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, you see, that is the big question that is raised about a helper in the ministry. Is he faithful? Is he dependable? Can you count on him? Will he do what he has been told to do without having somebody over him the whole time to be sure that he is getting it done? Jesus Christ spoke quite a bit about ministers and helpers in the ministry. And one of the questions was faithfulness. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? That is, somebody that is rightly discharging the responsibility that is laid upon him. There was some time when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 24, and he said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in the due season? You see, when the Lord used somebody to be a servant and a helper to his ministry, he made him a ruler over the household, but he was looking for faithfulness and he was looking for wisdom. Are you faithful? Are you dependable? Can your pastor give you an assignment and count on you to discharge it completely without ever having to go back over it and check on you again? And are you faithful enough to be counted on to represent him precisely the way that he would want to be represented if he knew everything you were saying? And will you honestly come back and represent well everything that was to be said about the people? I can remember there in the Old Testament, there was a servant in Saul's house. I think his name was Ziba. And he was assigned by David to become a servant of Mephibosheth. And when the rivalry came up and the king, David, was sent into exile, and Absalom was trying to take over the throne, well, this servant came and misrepresented Mephibosheth and made it out like Mephibosheth was going to align himself with Absalom in order to get the kingdom back to his own father's house. And that wasn't true. Mephibosheth didn't concern himself that way at all. His concern was he wanted King David back. That's the man he loved. But that servant misrepresented him to the king. And there are people who will misrepresent the sheep to the preacher because they're in a position to be a helper in the ministry, and they are more of a hindrance because they lack faithfulness than they are a helper. So one of the first characteristics of a good helper in the ministry is faithfulness. Are you faithful? Do you represent your pastor just exactly the way he wants to be represented when he gives you an assignment to do? And do you discharge the duty exactly the way he would have it discharged if he does the duty himself? And do you represent the causes of the people well to your pastor exactly the way they want him represented? Or do you twist them for your own selfish desires like Mephibosheth's servant did? Faithfulness. What a high price. What a great characteristic. Helpers in the ministry, are you faithful? All right, the second characteristic of a good helper in the ministry is found in verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul cared desperately for the Philippians, as he did for all the other churches that he looked after. You know, Paul endured great, great hardships in the ministry, as we've discussed. And his testimony is one of constant beating and whipping and persecution and suffering. But to him, he counted it worth it all. It was a great thing. But in addition to all of the weariness and painfulness and washings and watchings and hunger and thirst and fastings and the cold and nakedness and all that stuff, beside all that, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul desperately cared for his converts and for the churches that he had set up. He loved them. The trouble was finding men who felt the same way about those congregations and cared for those congregations exactly the way that Paul did. You see, one of the troubles about a person who starts a church and then years later has somebody else to come in and take the church when he's either too old to do it or God's called him on to another place or he's in ill health or whatever. The trouble is the person who comes in to replace him did not do the work to get the church up to the place where it was. He just comes in and there's already a wave that's crested. There's already a big church and a good work going. And so this man comes in and inherits something that's already been worked on diligently. You know what the trouble is? Because the next guy in, now we're speaking of good churches now, the next guy in hasn't done all the work to build it up. He just inherits a great thing. And consequently, it doesn't mean as much to him as it did to the guy that he replaced. Paul said, I'm looking for a man who is like-minded in this ministry, who will care, naturally care, for your state. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you as like-minded about the people that you serve with your pastor in the ministry as he is? Are you as concerned for their well-being, for their physical state, for their hospital and all that problem that they have? You know, many times a pastor will call a deacon. A church will elect a deacon when it's needed. And that deacon will many times shore up a lot of the responsibility of the pastor in making house calls and house visits and hospital visits and things like that. Are you just fulfilling a responsibility because that's something that was assigned to you? Or are you like-minded with the pastor, and do you weep over those that are in great necessity and great torment and great conflict? Or is it just another job to you? You just get to it in your spare time, you see. You know, one of the hardest things in the world that a preacher will ever have is to find a good associate pastor. Because what you need is a man who has a like-mindedness with you, and yet at the same time is very, very much a servant only of the Lord God. Well, that's a very unique person, somebody that's actually called and cut out specifically to be an associate. Because what he has to do is he has to be sold out and serving the Lord. No man can serve two masters. And yet at the same time, he has to be perfectly tuned, like stringed instruments are in an orchestra. He has to be perfectly tuned to the pastor. That's hard to find. You see, if you're not like-minded, you're not really going to help. Eventually, you are going to try to change your pastor to be like you are, to adopt your way of thinking, to adopt your way of doing things, to adopt your doctrinal interpretations of Scripture, to adopt your opinions about certain people and certain things in the ministry, to adopt your methods of getting jobs done, and to adopt your desires for the way the church ought to be. You may be a person upon whom your pastor depends greatly because your desire to see the work that you're involved in prosper and do well. But you may also be a person who has quite a bit of influence with the pastor because you give a lot, or you spend a lot of time with him, or you and he are good friends. Don't ever, as a helper in the ministry, don't ever use your position with the pastor as a deacon or a helper or a giver or a lover of the man's soul to make him run the ministry the way you see that it should be run. If you have that kind of mind and that kind of attitude, one of two things is wrong. You either have the wrong pastor or you're in the wrong church. One of the two. If he's so bad that he's absolutely inept and people won't follow him and he's not doing the work of the Lord, then obviously you need to pray diligently that God will move the man. But if you're the one who's messed up, and if you're the one who has thoughts, ways, doctrines, opinions, methods, and desires that don't line up with the preacher, but the preacher is a good man, and people in the church willingly follow him, and he teaches, and he preaches, and he sees to the needs of the congregation, you're in the wrong church. And you need to go somewhere where you can be like-minded with a pastor. The unfortunate thing for you is you may never find such a church. I can remember visiting with folks over time who're not satisfied anywhere they go. They're always critical of the pastor that God gives them, no matter where they are. And if that's the case, you'll never be like-minded with anybody else. Forget ever trying to be a helper to a preacher in the ministry. You'll make a bigger mess than you will solve problems. Now, these men, Paul and Timothy, were both lined up with the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ was their head. Jesus Christ, the head of the man, also he was the head of their church. And consequently, since they were both lined up with the Lord Jesus Christ as like-minded men, their position in the body caused them to function very well together. Just the other day, I had an opportunity to play tennis with my son, And, you know, in tennis, you have to have real good eye-hand coordination. You got to have good feet movement. Everything has to work well. And there were times when I hit shots very well. And the reason I did is because everything in the body was like-minded. We were all working on the same thing. But there were many times that I sprayed them, boy. I mean, the shots I made were horrible. You know what the trouble is? The hand wasn't connected to the eye wasn't connected to the feet, the body wasn't functioning properly, and the result was a bad shot. So it is absolutely of grave necessity that if you're going to be a helper to your pastor in the ministry, you have got to be like-minded with him. And if you cannot be like-minded with him, and yet God has called him to that ministry, then either one, you just need to sit quietly in the pew and forget trying to be a help to him in the ministry, or you need to go find a pastor that you can help. One of the two. One of the two. So, helpers in the ministry, first of all, need to be faithful, and secondly, they need to be like-minded with the man they're going to help. Now, here's the third thing. Good helpers in the ministry need to be heavenly-minded. Look in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Oh, how we've experienced these things in the ministry. God, there is nothing worse, than trying to get help from men who are interested in having their own way. They have their own agenda, they have their own desires, they have their own way. Recently, I was told of an experience that a church has gone through. They were looking for a pastor, had been for quite some time. They finally found a man that the pulpit committee agreed on. They found a man that the church agreed on. The man was voted in, and one man of influence in the church found out something about the pastor that he personally didn't like. It was simply a personal thing. It had absolutely nothing to do with his ability to preach. It had nothing to do with his ability to teach. It had nothing to do with his pastoral qualifications. None of those things. This was simply a very personal deal with the man. And he, through his power and influence in the congregation, was able to knock that man out after having been agreed upon by the church until they then could find another pastor. You know what that is? That is not a man who is heavenly-minded. That is not a man who is ever going to be a help to anybody in the ministry. That is a man who has his own carnal desires, his own personal agenda. He has absolutely no business considering himself to be a help to anybody in the ministry. He is a personal hindrance. Personal hindrance. And you know what his problem is? Evidently, his problem is that he's not heavenly-minded. He can't see the Lord using somebody that he personally can't get along with. Listen, there are all kinds of people in the ministry, and there are all kinds of problems that come up, and there are all kinds of sins that are committed by pastors. But if your mind is heavenly-minded as a helper in the ministry, you are going to be able to look past all of those earthly deficiencies, because you are going to be able to see a God-called man being used by God when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the trouble with preachers is they can easily get their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and onto carnal and temporal matters. If there's a church building program, then he's going to be concerned with budgets. He's going to be concerned with money. He's going to be concerned with debt if the church has borrowed money. He's going to be concerned with insurance. He's going to be concerned with making sure that everything's being done in a timely fashion. He's going to be concerned with coordinating all these things coming in. The man is going to be too involved in carnal and temporal matters. He's going to need help. If the church is big and growing and there are a lot of necessities in the church, the man is going to need help. And in Acts chapter 6, when there were matters in the church that began to concern carnal and temporal matters, that is, things that are dealing with down here, the preachers in the church desperately needed help, and so they went out and they got them some men in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And the reason they got these men is because the duties of the pastor are basically twofold, of major importance. Number one, to give himself continually to prayer, and number two, to give himself continually to the ministry of the Word. Not to go around holding little old ladies' hands and patting them on the hands and giving consolation, going around drinking coffee and tea with everybody in the church all the time and pitter-pattering around and being a buddy-buddy to everybody in the church, just the good old boy who never has time to study, never has time to prepare his sermons, never has time to pray for anybody because he's constantly having to deal with pitter-pattering around with the little sheep in the church who want attention all the time. And when a church gets up big and the man has to continually give himself to prayer and the ministry of the Word, he is going to need help. His duties are going to be to feed the sheep fall on his knees and fish for souls. And so he's going to need heavenly-minded help with him in the ministry to concern themselves with the temporal and with the carnal matters of the church. And he's also going to need heavenly-minded men who were willing to fish for souls with him and to fall on their knees with him, and that is to keep that church lifted up in prayer and keep new souls constantly coming to the church. As a man wisely said, sheep are the ones that reproduce sheep, not the shepherd. The shepherd tends the flock. He feeds the flock. He falls on his knees on behalf of the flock. He fishes for souls on his own, but he's not the one that is predominantly filling the church with new sheep. He needs somebody like you to do that, but are you heavenly minded enough to help him? Or are you going to constantly be browbeating him about the carnal matters that he's not tending to, that he's not supposed to tend to anyway? Now, it'll fall to him to have to do some of the stuff, but not all of it. Somebody ought to be there rearranging the furniture and vacuuming the floor. Somebody ought to be there to clean up the nursery. Somebody ought to be there to help with the children. Somebody ought to be there to make the coffee and provide the food and see to the showers and the wedding receptions and to the funeral receptions and all those other kind of details. There ought to be people there who can take that load, but those people need to be heavenly minded. Like Paul said, I all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You need people who have their affection set on things above and not on things on the earth. That's what Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Now, are you heavenly minded? If you are, you're going to be very, very suitable to be a help to your preacher in the ministry. So what do we have so far? Good helpers in the ministry need to be, first of all, faithful. Secondly, they need to be like-minded. And thirdly, they need to be heavenly minded. And fourthly, this is so good. They need to be loyal. Look in verse 22. Ye know the proof of him. Talking about Timothy. You know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. I have a son who's 16 years old, and still every night before he goes to sleep, he gives me a hug and a kiss. He wakes up in the morning and he gets ready to go off to school. Same thing. He loves me and I love him. And that's the way it is right now, thank God, and I pray that it'll continue that way. There's a loyalty there. There's a kindred spirit between us as a son with a father. That's what Paul wanted in a helper. That's what he had in Timothy. He had absolute loyalty. A great helper in the ministry is one who is totally loyal, not like Demas. Paul said about Demas that he was a helper in the ministry. And when he wrote to a church, I think it was to the Colossians, he pointed out that Demas was one who sent his regards on to the church. He was a helper with him in the ministry. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He was a helper. But when he wrote to Timothy toward the end of the ministry, you know what he said about Demas? He said, Demas hath forsaken me. Didn't forsake the Lord. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Well, worldliness got a hold of old Demas. He lost his loyalty to Paul as a result, and he forsook him. Oh, there are many a men who started out to try to be a help to their preacher in the ministry. They became covetous, and they became consumed with things here in the world, and because they loved this present world, they lost their loyalty to the preacher, and they forsook him, like Demas. Oh, a preacher doesn't need that. A preacher doesn't need that kind of help in the ministry. He needs somebody who's totally and absolutely loyal. Not like Diotrephes. John wrote to somebody in 3 John, to Gaius, to the well-beloved Gaius, and he spoke about a fellow named Diotrephes. And he says, verse 8, he says in 3 John, he said, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You see that? John talking about fellow helpers to the truth. But I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he hath doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Oh, how many times we've seen this. Diotrephes, the man that wants the preeminence among all of his brethren in the church. You are no help to anybody in the ministry if you have to be the big shot and everybody has to recognize that you're the one that is doing this in order to gain your preeminence. I think of missionaries that's prating against us with malicious words and won't receive the brethren. I think of men in the ministry who have wanted to be a help, who ended up, unfortunately, becoming a lot like Diotrephes and told the missionaries, if you don't have loyalty to me, then we won't let you back in our church and we'll cut off our support. Diotrephes had to have the preeminence. Love me or else. You're no help to anybody in the ministry like that. A helper in the ministry is somebody who is loyal. Now you compare Mark. Mark started off with Paul and Barnabas going into things of the ministry. And on the first missionary journey, when the thing got a little bit tough, he defected. He left them. So when Paul and Barnabas got to go on the second missionary journey, Paul didn't want Mark to go, but Barnabas did, and there was a great contention between them, and they split forces. Paul took Silas, and Barnabas took Mark. Years later, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "Send Mark, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, wow, you think about that reconciliation that took place right there. He said, "He is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, how in the world could that have possibly happened? Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know what happened? Mark was loyal. In spite of the fact that Paul didn't want to take him on that second missionary journey, and in spite of the fact that Mark was a little bit weak in that first missionary journey and gave up quick, he proved himself over time in spite of Paul's aggravation and in spite of Mark's own defection. He proved himself to be of utmost loyalty to the cause of Christ that was carried out by Paul himself, so that in the end, Paul could say, "Take him, bring him. He is profitable to me for the ministry." What a wonderful, wonderful end to a great ministry. And now that's four characteristics. As I said, we'd probably divide this into two lessons, which we will do. Tomorrow we'll pick up the other five characteristics. But remember, to be a good helper in the ministry, you need to be, first of all, faithful, then like-minded with your pastor. You need to be heavenly-minded with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to be absolutely loyal. And if you meet those characteristics, you meet four of the nine characteristics of a helper in the ministry. And if not, you need to pray God will put those things in your heart.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.